No, I hope. In recent weeks, we've been working our way through some of the important questions which are raised in the fourth gospel, the Gospel according to John. And this morning, we've reached a question which was posed to the Apostle Peter by our Lord himself, sometime after his resurrection. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And the setting for that particular question is all important. After these things, John says, last chapter of his gospel, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is known to us better as the Lake of Galilee. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. They, seven of our Lord's disciples, saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs, a reference, of course, to his people. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Well, it'd be hard, wouldn't it, to miss that the Lord Jesus asked that question, do you love me, three times. And I note that on each occasion he addressed the apostle in the same and rather unusual way, Simon, son of Jonah. And as far as our gospel records go, the Lord had spoken to Peter in that way only twice before. Once, over 3 years earlier, when they'd met for the very first time. And then once following Peter's great confession that he, Jesus, was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I suspect that from the very way our Lord addressed him, Peter realized that the Lord was about to say something really important. And the risen Lord had chosen a location most carefully at which to ask his pointed question. Not only was this on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the place where he had first called Peter to follow him as his disciple, but it was, I'm sure you noticed, near what the Gospel calls a fire of coals. And this place held special significance for the apostle, because it was at another fire of coals, not that long before, that he had publicly disowned the Lord Jesus, denying, reinforced with oaths and curses, that he'd ever known him, still less ever been one of his disciples. Back now, chapter 18, John tells how, on the evening immediately before our Lord's crucifixion, the detachment of troops and officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They led him away to Annas first, because he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Simon Peter followed. The servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, are you not also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a fire of coals, and stood there warming themselves, for it was cold. Peter also stood with them, warming himself. They said to him, "Are you not also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. And that's the only other place in the entire New Testament where we read of a fire of coals. At that time, Peter stood alongside the fire to warm himself with our Lord's enemies. It was there that he denied the Saviour. How forcibly then must this fire of coals by the Lake of Galilee have reminded him of that dreadful occasion? Indeed, the fact that Jesus chose to pose his question 3 times by the fire was itself charged with meaning. For had not Peter denied Jesus 3 times when he had stood alongside that other fire? And as I read, Peter, not then grasping the significance of this thrice repeated question, he was grieved because he said to him the 3rd time, "Do you love me?" But for Peter's sake, our Lord ensured that just as once Peter had denied him 3 times in the presence of witnesses near a charcoal fire, so he would now correspondingly affirm his love for him 3 times in the presence of witnesses near another charcoal fire. You may have noticed that the 1st time Jesus asked his question, "Do you love me?" he added the phrase, "more than these." Do you love me more than these other disciples, I take him to mean? And that addition was loaded with significance for Peter, because prior to his disowning the Lord during our Lord's so-called trial before the high priest and Jewish council, not only had Peter protested that he would remain loyal to Jesus come what may, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I will lay down my life for your sake," were his words. But not only had Peter protested that he would remain loyal to Jesus, he had specifically asserted in his own words that even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And you do know that even if all, I will never. What arrogant self-confidence. And now, by this 2nd fire, the Lord, so to speak, leads Peter back to the spot which held the key to his tragic fall, to his trust in his own strength, to a claim, to a love and devotion for the Saviour which surpassed that of all other disciples. It's as if the Lord now said, "Simon, after all that has happened, do you still maintain that you love me more than these other disciples?" Now, but Peter's now a changed man. His earlier fall had broken the neck of his pride, his presumption, his self-confidence, and humbled by that sad failure, he carefully avoids comparison with any others, appealing only to the Saviour's own knowledge. "Yes, Lord," he says in effect, "you know that in spite of my great failure and sin, which I neither deny nor excuse, Lord, I love you." Alongside the 1st fire, the apostle had protested 3 times that he didn't know Jesus. Now, alongside the 2nd fire, he gladly affirms 3 times that Jesus knows him, and therefore knows that he truly does love him. But why do you think did Peter love him? It was Peter's close friend and companion John who later explained, "We love him because he first loved us." That it is our awareness, our enjoyment of Christ's love for us that awakens and stimulates our love for him. And now, standing the other side of the cross, Peter could appreciate as never before just how much Jesus loved him. That Jesus loved him not only enough to pray for him before his denials, as the Lord said he would, not only enough following those denials to convey to him by means of a look his, that is our Lord's, compassion and forgiveness, not only enough to deliberately include Peter by name in the message carried by the women folk to the disciples concerning the risen Lord's intention to meet with them in Galilee, not only enough, soon after that, to appear to Peter privately to restore his communion with himself. No, above anything else, that Jesus loved him so much that he had been willing to suffer death on a cross, that Peter might be, as he once put it himself, that he might be brought to God. Small wonder then that Peter responded, "Lord, you know that I love you." And this morning, the burning question that faces each of us, as it once did Peter, is not how much we know, not even how much we do, certainly not how much we talk, nor how much we give. But do we love the Lord Jesus? Do we love the one who first loved us and gave himself for us? Because make no mistake, every true believer loves the Lord Jesus. It was Peter himself, writing later to Christians of his own day, who said concerning the Savior, "Whom having not seen, you love." As many of you know, Linda and I were in North Wales this time last week. And there we saw some of the most beautiful scenery. Flowers, bird life. And what we saw reminds me of the words of the great 18th century poet William Cowper. "God made the country and man made the town." We enjoyed the country. It was that same writer who gave us a hymn which closes with the lines, "Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more." Shall we pray?